Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. In her new collection of essays, Circling Back Home, A Plains Woman's Journey, Darcy Lip-Acord reflects on how her life as a contemporary farm and ranch woman is connected to the prairie lives of her grandmothers. She's the granddaughter of German-Russian immigrants and grew up in Timber Lake in north central Dakota, just south of Standing Rock Reservation, north central South Dakota. She lives on a ranch now in northeastern Wyoming with her husband, Sean, and they're the parents of six children. The book's essays explore themes of home, family, and ancestral legacy. And Darcy Lip-Acord is the first author in our Dakota Midday Book Club series, and she joins us on the line. And Darcy, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be able to talk to you today.
And if you've had the opportunity to read Circling Back Home, and if you have some questions, you can email us at midday@sdpb.org. You can also call us at 800-524-3604. Now, Darcy, as I understand it, these essays, they were written over, what, a period of about 10 years?
About that, yes. Actually, you know, if you count the time when I was playing around with ideas and didn't even begin actually putting them together as essays, probably closer to 15, but they've been written over a lengthy period of time, and then of course they kind of sat and before I did final edits and got the contract with South Dakota State Historical Society Press. So they definitely evolved over a period of time.
When you first started writing what became these essays, did you have an idea in mind that these would be something that would eventually get published, something you wanted to share with people, or were they something of a more personal nature, something that you just wanted to do for yourself, to just get down and put your thoughts on paper?
You know, I think that especially the initial essays, which would be what you would read in Rooted and Autumn Pain, some of those were the very first essays. Those were definitely more of a personal nature, exploring my roots, exploring where some choices in my life had circled me back around to a lifestyle that I thought I had left and had come back to. So those were definitely of a more personal nature. It wasn't until a few years into really writing and exploring that I started to see some themes and some threads that felt like they could be a book, and that I got comfortable with the idea of putting my writing out there for people to read.
Was that sort of a challenge or maybe scary to put those things out for people to read, because in many of these essays you write about some very intimate things, such as giving birth, your marriage, your relationship with your children. Was it difficult sharing those with people, or is that just part of the courage of being a writer?
It's still difficult. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but courage is maybe not the absence of fear. It's, didn't John Wayne say it's being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. You know, I guess my feeling that there was worth in these essays, and particularly not my story, but the story that my story represents, which is the larger story of the Plains woman, I felt like it hadn't been shared much and needed to be. And so that feeling of needing to share, that feeling of needing to put my experiences out there and kind of a faith that a reader would be able to relate to those experiences, offset the fear. But I'm not going to tell you that I don't, you know, still feel that nervousness sometimes when somebody says, oh, I read your book, you know. Sometimes you kind of go, oh, I wonder what they thought of it, you know. But you do it anyway. And I think that is part of being a writer. Writers who I speak to often, writers who have mentored me, have always talked about you have to be honest with your audience. And I think that's the code, that's the creed that we have to uphold.
What was it about the larger story of the Plains woman that you felt needed to be told? Was it something that you've felt, you know, in looking back at your grandparents and your mother, that that there was a value in the life that they chose that was not being was not being shared or was not being understood by people or was maybe being overlooked?
Being overlooked, I think, maybe is more accurate. You know, as I studied literature in college, and in particular after college, as I began to really read the literature of the West, there just wasn't a lot out there about the woman who tended the home fires, the woman who, you know, ran to town for parts, who cooked the meals, who took care of the children. There is a body of literature definitely about the cowgirl, the woman who is out there alongside of her husband, and that's honorable in its own right. But I felt like the story of so many women of the plains, you know, needed to be told and honored because that work is so important, not just in an agricultural lifestyle, but in any lifestyle, and I don't know that it is honored enough. So that's really where I came from, or where I evolved to as I was writing and thinking about these themes.
You write that, and you made mention of this just a little bit ago, that when you were growing up in Timber Lake, South Dakota, you had dreams of getting away from that rural life like a lot of young people. And looking back, do you think the younger version of you would be surprised by the way things turned out?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, the younger version of me really didn't think I'd go back to an agricultural lifestyle. The younger version thought that I'd be living more of an international lifestyle. And I still love, you know, I was listening before the break to the talk about what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine. I still love to read and learn about international relations. I love languages. I love literature and world cultures. So the younger version of me didn't think I'd ever be back in a ranching lifestyle or an agricultural lifestyle. But it sure does feel right now that I am here. So I'm, you know, that's, I think, a common thing, I think, for young people to leave home. And in some way or another, you circle back to it. You may not circle back to the exact lifestyle, but a lot of your roots and values, you must leave in order to see their worth. And oftentimes, I think young people come back to them.
In writing the essays and circling back home, are these notions of circling back and valuing the life that your ancestors, were these things that the writing itself helped you understand?
Yes, most definitely. I'm a huge advocate for writing to know oneself, writing to work through questions and doubts. I think a lot of the time it is in the process of writing, you have to become honest with yourself, I think, in the process of writing. We're such an easily distracted culture. There's so much going on, and I think that we can live at a very superficial level, and I mean that in a spiritual sense, in a sense of not really pondering what is it I'm doing with my life and what do I really value, what is really important to me. I think writing is for some people, not everybody, but for me, one of the best ways to go deep and get in touch with that. And it was in the process of writing generates questions and then answers and then more questions. And I think that's any creative work, any creative process, I think that's how that goes.
In the process of writing and coming up with those questions, were you surprised by both the questions and the answers that you came up with?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I think so. You know, as I kind of said, I started really writing these essays to work through the death of my father and to work through my grief about that. But as I spent more time with that, I began exploring more of what his life stood for, and that led to thinking about the women around that I grew up around and what their lives stood for. And in the process of that, I should say that, you know, this was in my mid to late 20s and early 30s, and I lost not only my dad, but a grandmother and an aunt and a grandfather who were all such a part of my childhood and such a part of my roots and values. And I think that in exploring, in grieving them and exploring what their lives meant to me, it did force me to go deeper and think about how I was living my life.
How long did it take you to find your, what writers call their voice? And what do you think that voice is?
Okay. It's such an abstract thing. It did take me, I would say, a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years. I really began to feel at home with what I was writing when I began to write these stories of my ancestors and these stories of the lifestyle in which I grew up, and when I began to write the story of the lifestyle I was living. Prior to that, I think my voice was more imitative of whoever I was reading at the time. So maybe it was in finding that subject that resonated with me, that voice, that my style, my thinking, my own feelings started to really become evident in my writing.
The foreword in the book is by a writer from South Dakota that a lot of us know and have read her work, Linda Hasselstrom. She was an early mentor of yours. She helped you find that voice?
Most definitely. Linda has been a powerful force in my career as a writer almost from the beginning. I spent a retreat at Windbreak House in the late 1990s, and at that time I was still in that path of struggling to find my voice and to really discover what I even wanted to write about. She was one of the first people who was able to look at my essays and my writing and pull the threads of what seemed authentic, what seemed to really be me writing. And most of those stories, those pieces, they actually began in an essay called Checkers, but they ended up being in the Rooted essay and Autumn Pain and Berry Bounty, which were some of the earliest essays that I wrote. Linda was instrumental in that, and of course I read and studied her writing a lot, both before I went to Windbreak House and after. And then when I got the final contract for the book and I needed to turn in the final draft, I was able, and this was wonderful, about 2 years ago, to return to Windbreak House, not as part of a writer's group retreat, but just individually, and work with Linda one-on-one on a lot of the tightening up of the book and of the essays. And I just can't say enough for her guidance and for her mentorship. She's been a precious gift.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with author Darcy Lip-Acord about her new book of essays. It's published by the South Dakota State Historical Society Press. It's called Circling Back Home, A Plains Woman's Journey. And Darcy, we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back and talk a little bit more. Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're talking with Darcy Lip-Acord. Her new book of essays, Circling Back Home, A Plains Woman's Journey, is a new collection of essays from the South Dakota State Historical Society Press, and they're a reflection on how her life as a contemporary ranch woman is connected to the prairie lives of her grandmother. She grew up in Timberlake, South Dakota, where three generations of her family lived. She's now living on a ranch in northeastern Wyoming with her husband, Sean, and they're the parents of six children. Darcy Lip-Acord is the first author in our Dakota Midday Book Club series, and I should also mention that on Tuesday, March 11th, she's also the speaker at the South Dakota Historical Society Foundation's History and Heritage Book Club, and she'll be connected to those meetings from Gillette, Wyoming, to sites in Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and the Cultural Heritage Center in Pierre. And Darcy, this book has been out, I think, what, since last fall? Wondering what sort of reaction you've been getting from your readers.
It came out September 1st, and overall, I've had a very positive reaction, and it's been humbling. I've had the opportunity to do readings and signings in Deadwood at the South Dakota Festival of the Book, and in Timberlake at the annual meeting of the Timberlake and Area Historical Society, and also here in Gillette at the Public Library, which is also where I work. And all of those, in all of those venues, I've had readers come up and just talk about, you know, maybe it was an image from the book, maybe they remembered their grandmother doing something similar to mine. Maybe it was the overall tone of the book, and for the most part, my reactions have been very positive and very gracious. I've been humbled by that.
Now, I'm sure people come away with different thoughts and themes when they finish the book, but for me, the overarching theme of the book is something you mentioned near one of the last essays, a lesson that your great aunt, a nun, taught you, and that is, duty, if embraced fully, becomes not dreariness, but a path to joy. Was that something that took you a while to learn, a sort of a wisdom that comes with age?
I believe so, yes. I think that I think it took me, I don't know if I can speak for anybody else, it took me a while to see that what I had seen in my grandmother's and aunt's and mother's life, which was the duties of being a housewife, the duties of being a mother. When I was younger, that seemed very stifling, very boring, very constraining. And of course, I come to this lifestyle, and I work, and I make choices that they probably didn't have. So I have to always issue that caveat. But I come to this lifestyle now, and the duties that are encumbered with raising children, the duties that are encumbered just with going to your job and doing your job, they may sound boring when you're younger, but they give us the greatest opportunities, I think, for spiritual growth and for joy, because in embracing the choices we've made in the life that we live, I think we have the opportunity to open our eyes to gratitude and to seeing how our service to the people we love, whether that service is in, you know, becoming a doctor and finding a cure for cancer, or that service is in just providing a good, you know, decent lunch for a husband who's been out in the field all morning and who is really tired and hungry, doesn't matter. The duty, that whether it's small or large, is a path to service, and that service brings joy. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest lessons that took me a long time to realize.
And that lesson coming, as you mentioned, from raising, having six kids, I believe, mm-hmm. Two are now in college, is that correct?
Two are now in college, yep. My oldest two live in Laramie, which is where the University of Wyoming is, and then I have four who still live at home with us.
Mm-hmm. And your husband, Sean, as you've mentioned, he's been a ranch manager for most of your life together, and that's just something that who he is, and one of the things he write about is you. That's part of that that duty is just because he can't be anything else. Then I mean that's who he is. That's part of your duty to support that.
I believe so. Yes, I think accepting who our partner is, accepting what brings them joy, is a huge part of what we do to support them and what we do to love them. You know, he could make more money doing something else probably, but it wouldn't be him. And I wouldn't ask that of him, nor would he ask me to do other than what I do. I think that we need to support who our whether that's our life partner or whether that's our children, who they really are, not who we might have them be.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Darcy Lipp Acord about her new book of essays published by the South Dakota State Historical Society Press. It's called Circling Back Home, A Plains Woman's Journey. And we do have a call from a listener, Marvin in Meade County. Go ahead with your question for Darcy Lipp Acord.
Yeah, Darcy, I commend you. And you, along with the people of Kathleen Norris, Linda Hagelstrom, and of course Ivan Doig from Montana, you write very, very well of what it is to exist and survive on the prairie. And that I think is not as Hollywood presents it. It's a joyride. There's a lot of pain out there, and somehow we figure out ways to get by it. And I thank you for contributing to that effort.
Well, I'm humbled by what you said, Kathleen and Linda and Ivan. I never would put myself in their echelon ever. But they were so important to me to read how they wrote about the reality, and I think you hit on that. Not everybody realizes what is real about living on the prairie or in the West, and I think that there's a romanticized view of it, and that just isn't how it is. So I think it's so important to be honest and to tell the truth, and maybe we're small voices, but we're truthful voices, and I think that makes a huge difference.
All right, Marvin, thanks so much for your comment.
Thank you.
Well, Darcy, I'm wondering if there's other things that you're writing, or do you have other plans for future books like this?
You know, I do. I will be honest with you. In the last few years, I've done the publishing of this, which was a huge and, as you can imagine, intensive editing process. And I've graduated two daughters, and I've also been very active. I work as a librarian at Campbell County Public Library, and so have become more active in that role. So I have a manuscript, but I haven't gotten back to it. But I'm very intrigued by the history of the ranch that Sean and I are managing, and we've been there for 8.5 years now. And it sits right on the Little Powder River and was part of the Texas Trail that came up from Texas to southeastern Montana. And in a similar way, I'm very interested in the stories of all of the women who lived there in the house that we live in now before I did. And so I have written a manuscript about that, but I feel the need to go back and really, I've written a kind of a first draft, and now I really feel the need to go back and do the digging of the research to add to that and to really enrich the manuscript. But I am working. I'm not as able to write as often as I was maybe when I was doing Circling Back Home, just because of changes in lifestyle. But I am still working.
We only have about a minute left, and I don't know if this is a question you can answer, but it almost sounds like writing is a part of just the hard work that you do, as well as helping your husband manage your ranch and to raise kids and do the other things, gardening and all sorts of things. It's all tied together.
It is. The life that we lead definitely influences the writing that I do. The life that I lead influences the writing. And when I do get back to the paper and the pen, it is in writing about that lifestyle and the questions that it raises for me. So yes, they are very much tied together, hand in hand. I've often thought about trying my hand at fiction or something else, but I really like to write about what I see in front of me and explore that more deeply. So at least at this stage of my life, I'll probably stick with the nonfiction.